Our mission of the month for November is Church on the Street. Pastor Rebel Hurd has worked hard at creating a place for the homeless community to come, worship, and hear of God's truth and love. On Wednesday, November 29th, we'll be hosting a free spaghetti dinner for the Church on the Street community. Along with dinner, we'll be passing out gloves and mittens for the Warm Hearts, Warm Hands Project. Bring your hats, gloves, and mitten donations to the bins in the lobby before the 29th. Come worship, do the annual lighting of the Christmas tree, and kick off the holiday season as we partner with our mission of the month. On Saturday, December 2nd at 2 p.m., all women are invited to attend the Christmas Tea. Come for a time of great fellowship, festive music by the Fody and Climes families, and delicious Christmas goodies. Tickets are on sale now for $5, with proceeds going to the Big Brothers Big Sisters program. Invite the women in your life to this fun-filled event. One administrative note, with Thanksgiving this week, the church office will be closed starting on Wednesday at noon until Sunday morning. So enjoy the holiday and happy Thanksgiving. If you have any questions about upcoming opportunities, please see your news and events. You'll also find an order of worship and a Connect card, which you can fill out and place in the offering basket later on in the service. Connect cards not only let us know you were with us for worship, they truly are the best way we can get you connected here at First. Now I invite everyone to stand and share in community by greeting those you're worshiping with this morning.
Welcome to the Sunday worship service at First United Methodist Church at 401 South Spring Avenue in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We're glad you're worshiping with us today on our live stream broadcast at 8:30 and 9:45. Today's sermon title is, Are We Reliable? Pastor Bob Rudebush is giving the message today. We hope you find the worship service a blessing for your life this week.
Let us remain standing as we share in our call to worship and our opening prayer. The time for harvest is close at hand. What have we done with the gifts God has given us? We have brought our gifts to the house of the Lord. Praise God for the gifts and for the opportunities for service that they represent. We praise God for all the ways in which our lives have been blessed. Generous God, accept our gifts and our lives this day. Loving God, accept our praise and gratitude. O gracious God, we thank you for the goodness of this new day. We thank you for the gift of sunshine and for the gift of gathering as your people in worship. Bless us in our praise for you, O Lord. May our focus be on you and the ways that you speak to us. Open our hearts and minds and spirits to your transforming love. And we offer to you the thanksgivings of our hearts. So be with us now as we worship together. For we ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, we begin our time of music by our hymn, A Voice of God is Calling, number 436, as well as the band will lead us in Mighty to Save. The Voice of God is Calling, Mighty to Save.
Thank you. needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of
seated. Just a reminder, on the back of your news and events is a place where we can share in our prayers of joys and concerns for those who need our prayers. And so we hope that you'll take this home with you and be in prayer for neighbors and friends in our community of faith. I don't think this is working anymore, is it? Okay. We'll also, just a reminder, we are finalizing our estimate of giving gratitude campaign, and so we hope that if you've not filled one out, it really helps us out in the planning. But we're thankful for all those who have offered and given, and we have cards at the door, so I invite you to pick those up and take it and share it to the church office as well. We gather as God's people to share not only in music and opportunities of prayer, but we also gather as God's people to offer the very best of our lives, part of our spiritual maturity in being generous and offering back to God. And so we now ask that the ushers wait upon us as we give of our tithes, our offerings, and our gifts to God, and our band will lead us in Lift Your Head, Weary Sinner.
Your head.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we gather as your people and give you praise and thanksgiving today because it's not about us. It's always about you. We gather in this week when we are mindful of all that you have entrusted to us. Oh Lord, you invest in us the gifts of life and the call to offer these gifts to the world. Forgive us for the places where you failed to be your people, where we failed to offer ourselves in complete trust to you. We are mindful of many who need your healing presence. We are mindful of many who experience the great power of joy and blessing, the gifts of new life. We pray and ask for your healing touch to be with Loretta and Angela, and for Steve and for Patty, for Paula, for Elliot, for Brittany and Jill, for celebrations of engagements and weddings. We pray for Jean. And we pray and are grateful for the opportunities to grow in ministry of music. Oh Lord, there are many situations and needs and burdens and names and joys on our hearts. And in this moment, we lift them up to you, oh God. Come and cover us, O God. Come and live in our midst, in our lives. Not just in this moment, but help us to seek you, to see you, the signs of your presence each day. So bless us that we may be people who are prepared, people who are ready for the coming of your kingdom, not only here on earth, but ultimately the great kingdom, your kingdom of heaven. So surround us and bless us as your people this day. For we ask this in Jesus' name, who invited his disciples to pray with him. He said, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. This time, we're grateful to have our chancel choir share with us Within Thy Grace.
Thank you. Last week was Saturday, a week ago Saturday, was Veterans Day, and for whatever reason, I forgot to want to recognize our veterans. So if you're a veteran here today, I'd just invite you to stand so we can recognize you, and grateful for your faithful service. So we invite them to stand and to celebrate their service on our behalf. Well, thank you. Yeah, I did it every other service but this one. I don't know what I was thinking. So, but, you know, sometimes you forget. So it's good to recover yourself every once in a while. Also, our sermon series for Advent will be on, we're going to be looking at Joseph. Because, you know, oftentimes in the Christmas story, we focus on Mary and the angels and the wise men and the stars. But we don't hear too much about Joseph. And so we're going to be looking at Joseph's faithfulness and offering his life in service to God by raising Jesus. And so we look forward to that growth in our faith during that season of Advent and Christmas. Our scripture today is a continuation of our series, as I said earlier, is Matthew chapter 25. We're looking at verses 14 through 30. This is particularly, the title of this is Parable of the Valuable Coins. Also the words is used talent, and we will be sharing in this gift of God's word for us today, this parable of Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who was leaving on a trip. He called his servants and handed his possessions over to them. To one he gave 5 valuable coins, and to another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1. He gave to each servant according to the servant's ability. Then he left on his journey. After the man left, the servant who had 5 valuable coins took them and went to work doing business with them. He gained 5 more. In the same way, the one who had 2 valuable coins gained 2 more, but the servant who received the 1 valuable coin dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 valuable coins came forward with 5 additional coins, and he said, "Master, you gave me 5 valuable coins. Look, I've gained 5 more." The master replied, "Excellent. You are a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will put you in charge of much. Come celebrate with me." The second servant also came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 valuable coins. Look, I've gained 2 more." His master replied, "Well done. You are good and a faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will put you in charge of much. Come and celebrate with me." Now the one who had received 1 valuable coin came and said, "Master, I knew that you were a hard man. You harvest grain where you haven't sown. You gather crops where you haven't spread the seed. So I was afraid, and I hid my valuable coin in the ground. Here, you have what's yours." His master replied, "You evil and lazy servant. You knew that I harvest grain where I haven't sown, and that I gather crops where I haven't spread seed. In that case, you should have turned my money over to the banker so that when I returned, you could have given me what belonged to me with interest. Therefore, take from him the valuable coin and give it to the one who has 10 coins. Those who have much will receive more, and they will have more than they need. But as those who don't have much, even the little bitty they have will be taken away from them. Now take the worthless servant and throw him outside into the darkness. People there will be weeping and grinding their teeth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we know that all good gifts come from you, and that you give us gifts, abilities, talents, opportunities for service and mission. And yet, we confess that we too are afraid. Sometimes in looking at our own lives, we miss the opportunity to grow the kingdom. Speak to us this day, O Lord, that we may have ears to listen. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In one of the congregations I served, I was called by a husband who was concerned about his wife. She had this sense of couldn't even go outside. She was wanted to stay home, always had the curtains drawn, just really was afraid of going out into the world at all. And in fact, there's a name for it. It's agoraphobia, which means you just don't want to go outside. And so when I stopped at their home, I knocked on the door, and it was during the afternoon, and I remember I was kind of, Edith came to the door, and she was, you could tell she had some anxiety and nervousness, and so she opened the door, invited me in, and we sat down, but it was kind of weird because, you know, like I said, the curtains were drawn, it was kind of dark. And we began to talk about some of, you know, what is it that she was afraid of? What are the fears that she had in her life? And she began to describe this sense of just anxiety about stepping out and maybe getting out into the world. And we prayed about it, and we invited God to somehow begin to help her to overcome this fear. Now, we're looking at a series of particular parables in Matthew 25. That Jesus invites us to think about, are we ready? And often this material, the Gospel of Matthew, has really written to a Jewish audience. Matthew is wanting to help those Jews who have not believed that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one to come. And so he's writing this particular gospel, and if you read through the gospel, you'll see places where he'll refer back to the Old Testament and say, Jesus fulfilled this prophecy. Jesus fulfilled this prophecy. Jesus is the Messiah. But then here in chapters 23, 24, and 25 of Matthew, Jesus begins to share parables about the judgment, the final days. And there was a belief among the people, an understanding that Jesus was going to return again. Now, as I said last week, we know this because many in the early church believed, including the Apostle Paul, that Jesus was going to return in their lifetime. And so in many ways, they didn't really live life to the fullest. They didn't really bring about and worry about other people joining the kingdom because they just knew that Jesus was coming back and that's all we had to worry about. But as time began to go longer, they began to realize that Jesus wasn't returning right away. And so many of the gospel writers and many in the New Testament were struggling and offering these understandings that, well, why we're waiting in the meantime, since we're waiting for Jesus to return, that maybe we as disciples and followers of Christ are to use our gifts that God has given to us. Now, we know, as we talked about last week, we saw the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The wise one brought extra oil in preparation for the bridegroom or the groom who was late, where there were 5 foolish ones that didn't have extra oil, and so then, in essence, were shut out from the kingdom of God. Now, that seems pretty harsh to us because, you know, we understand Jesus to be and God to be God of love and caring because if Jesus came, but you have to remember that in this context and in that time, as we said, there was a belief that Jesus was going to come again. And in the sense of that, if Jesus is going to come again, then don't have to worry, don't have to be prepared. But now, the writers are saying, no, we do have to be prepared. We're going to be called to accountability. There's a place of judgment in this journey towards heaven, toward this time of the second coming of Jesus. Now, first of all, this particular parable makes it difficult because we seem to focus on the one talent or the one valuable coin person, because obviously we hear he's afraid. But I want us to step back a little bit and see that, first of all, God invested in each of these three servants according to their ability, it says in the scripture. So, Jesus, or God, being the master in this parable, it says, goes away. The kingdom of heaven is like this rich person who has gone away, and he leaves to each of his servants to care for his possessions. And so he gives five talents or valuable coins to one, two to another, one to the other. God invests spiritual gifts in each of us. I want us to hear today that God has invested a spiritual gift in each of us, and that we are called to use these spiritual gifts for the glory of God, for the faithfulness in bringing about God's kingdom here on earth. That we are called by God and given gifts in various degrees to build up the body of Christ, to build up the community of faith, to build up and to bear witness to the power of God's love in the world. So God has invested in us. God has spiritual wealth, and God's spiritual wealth is shared with you and me. One of my mentors in ministry, one I've done a lot of reading about, is a preaching professor by the name of Fred Craddock, and he tells a story about growing up in the Depression when their family had to leave the farm and move to town to find jobs. His father had found a job, and also it was expected that all the kids would somehow, in one way or another, do some kind of work so that they could help contribute to the family economic needs. And so the way that they did that is they had a cigar box that they put in the middle of their table. And anybody that got money from a job or whatever they did were to place the money in the cigar box. And there, his mother would take money out to pay the rent and to buy food and to take care of the family needs. But about every 2 to 3 weeks, Fred remembered seeing his father would take some money out of this cigar box, and then he'd go into town and he'd come back, and he'd either have a box of chocolates or some roses or something special for his mother. And of course, when their dad would come in the door, the mother would, you know, say, "You shouldn't have done this. We couldn't afford this." You know, really made this kind of scene. And Fred remembers seeing this scene happen 2 or 3 weeks, and he remembers one occasion when his mom was really protesting, "We just really don't have the money to do this." And he said, "I never forgot what my father said. My father said, when our lives are defined by what goes in and out of the box, then we will be poor people. Life would then rob us of joy. When our lives are defined by what goes in and out of this cigar box, we will then be poor people. Life would then rob us of joy." God has invested a spiritual gift in each one of us. The spiritual gift of maybe praying. The gift of being concerned and caring for a neighbor. The gift of maybe being in a leadership role. In so many different ways, God has offered to us spiritual gifts. God invests in us. And God calls us to use that investment to change the world. God calls us and charges us to not just sit on our spiritual gifts, but to use them. As we saw in the accountability of the five and the two, they went right away to work, seeking ways about bringing about the kingdom of heaven. And that's what we're called to do. That's what we're charged to do. We're charged to take the investment, the spiritual gifts that God has given to you and to me, and to use those gifts in changing people's lives, in offering a broken world some hope. And in doing so, that's what our call is. And we can't just say, "Well, somebody else will do it for us." Because in the end, we get a picture today that we're called to accountability. Are we reliable? Can God trust us with these spiritual gifts, that we will use them for the glory of God? As we know, Steve Jobs is the one that changed our world with Apple. You know, the iPad and, you know, phones. As we look around, it's just literally changed the way that we do life. And early on, as Apple was developing and growing, Steve Jobs had all these visions, but he knew he needed someone who could be the CEO of the company. That was not his gift. He knew that he needed someone else to help guide the company to literally do what he had envisioned it would do. And so he began to examine and know friends, and he finally came to a man by the name of John Sculley, who was at that time running the Pepsi company. And so he approached him and said, you know, I'd love you to come and be the CEO, Chief Executive Officer of Apple, because I believe we're on the cusp of changing things through my vision and understanding how we use phones and how we communicate and how we live in this world. Now, Sculley was kind of not sure about this because, you know, it's kind of risky. This stuff was new. It was kind of risky, and he wasn't sure that he should step out with that. And so they had conversations back and forth till finally Steve Jobs said to Sculley this phrase, John, do you want to sell sugar water for the rest of your life, or do you want a chance to change the world? Do you want to just sell sugar water for the rest of your life, or do you want a chance to change the world? I think that's what Jesus is saying to us in this parable today. Jesus says that God invests in you and me the spiritual gifts, the abilities, the gifts and talents in various degrees according to our abilities to then use those for the glory of God in bringing about God's kingdom here in this time. We are to be reliable people of God. We are called to a sense of accountability of, am I truly living out God's call in my life? Am I really using my gifts to help raise and encounter a world so that it get no hope and caring and love? Am I doing my part? Now, when we go back and look at this parable and we see that the five and the two, they go ahead and they double what they've been given. And the master says, excellent servant, good job. And I think the key word there is, come and celebrate with me. Come and celebrate with me. But if we're honest with each other today, we struggle over this one, the one talent, the one valuable coin. That servant buried it. And we find out later that he buried it because he was afraid. And he lived in this fearful relationship with the master. He was afraid of the master. And he felt that the master was harsh. And so in doing so, he wanted to play it safe. And so he just did nothing. Buried it in the ground. Now, for all my banker friends over the years in ministry, they love this parable because, you know, it says, literally, Jesus says, man, you at least could have put it in the bank and I could have got interest on it. So they always love it when I talk about this particular parable. But there's some truth in it, isn't there? Are we just sitting on our gifts? Are we just sitting on them? Are we burying our gifts? Maybe out of apathy, maybe? Maybe out of fear? Maybe we're just plain out tired? And yet, Jesus says in this parable, there comes a time of accountability. There's a call for us to be reliable, faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, we get always kind of caught up with the grinding and gnashing of teeth and you wicked and lazy servant, throw him out. And yet it reminds us that there is a place, a moment, somewhere in our lives where God truly judges us and calls us to, I've invested these gifts in you. Are you using them to change the world? Are you using them to the best of your ability? Elizabeth Blackwell was the first female medical doctor in the United States in 1851. She graduated from medical school, but nobody would have her be a part of their practice. In fact, in New York City, she was trying to figure out a place where she could open up a clinic. And she didn't have the money for that. And when she went to look for apartments and people would say, well, what are you going to do? She said, well, I'm a doctor. I'm going to help treat people. And most often people just ignored her. They shut her out. Finally, a small group of Quakers who believed in her said, we will front the money so that you can have a clinic in the worst part, in the slums, the most difficult place in New York City. And so she opens her practice. And for 2 to 3 weeks, nobody comes. Until finally, one day, a woman who just couldn't make it to the emergency room farther away stumbled into her office and said, I just need medical attention and need help. And Elizabeth helped her, and the woman recovered. And the woman went out and began to tell everybody else, there's this great doctor down here, and it's free. And so they all began to come, and her practice began to grow. And she was later asked, you know, well, what kept you going in those dark times? And she said, I knew I had a gift. I knew I had a gift to help bring healing to people. And I knew that someday somebody would come and I could help them. We're not called to bury our gifts in fear. We are called and have been given by God an investment. God has invested in us. And we are charged then to use that investment, those spiritual gifts that God has given us, to bring about God's kingdom here on earth. To take the risk, my friends, because it is risky sometimes to give ourselves away. It is risky to share love with someone who doesn't want to love us back. It is difficult to sometimes stand with people in the darkest moments of their lives, and yet we're called to take the risk. We're called to step out in faith. We're called to be reliable disciples of Jesus Christ. Remember Edith? Room was dark. Good news was is that she began to seek medical attention and finally came to Sioux Falls and found a doctor that said that she had a chemical imbalance. She was given some medication and it literally changed her world. She became a fully active participant in the life of our community of faith. The shades weren't dark anymore. Her house was bright and light. The transforming power of God and Jesus Christ has been invested in you and me to change the world, to bring God's light to the darkest places of our world. My friends, are we bearing our gifts? Are we using our gifts to bring about God's kingdom today? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, so often we think that somebody else will take care of it. And yet you have given each of us a gift. In some ways, to use this gift to change our world. Might be just one person in our influence, circle of influence. It might be in the ways that we live out our vocations. Might be within our families. Wherever it might be, O Lord, help us to recognize the spiritual gift that you've given us, that we may truly heed your call to come and to celebrate the opportunities of giving ourselves away in love. For we ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. As a response to the power of God's presence in our lives, we want to go out and be God's light. And so we're going to stand and sing together a great song that we love here, My Lighthouse. So let us stand and sing together, My Lighthouse. Again, we're glad to have each of you here this day. We hope that you will celebrate the spiritual gifts in your life. And I think Joyful Chord helped us earlier. We're to live by simple alleluias. Live by singing simple alleluias every day. Let us share in our sending forth together. Our life with all that we are and have is not ours to possess, for it is a trust from God. It is a loan from God, not to keep safely in a hole in the ground, but to work with as best as we can, each according to his ability. May Almighty God give us the courage to serve God and people with all that is in us. And may the Lord bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We go out as Spirit-filled disciples of Jesus to be a sanctuary of Christian hope, love, and encouragement in the heart of Sioux Falls. Amen. Have a blessed Thanksgiving week, and we go forth singing, "We Are Called."
Thank you for worshiping with us today. May you have a God-filled week.